This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, now in our fifth season, looking into the exciting happenings of Ipswich Town Football Club. My name is Benjamin Bloom and you're tuned into the flagship show, available each and every week on video or audio. So for a sometimes irreverent but always informative hour or more of football conversation, make your Monday a Blue Monday. Guys, you know I'm a musician. I've been working really hard this week on a song. Would you like me to sing it to you? It goes, "We are top of the league. Say we are." That was quite creepy the way I did it, didn't it?
It was. Inspired though, Ben. Like the lyrics. Inspired stuff.
Yeah, that was so good, Ben. I heard that at a bus stop in Ipswich Town Centre about 6 o'clock last night.
Yeah, it's really catching on.
I wrote it at 5:53, so that was already done. I did think about doing it to the tune of Sloop John B, but... I didn't quite find that creative enough. David Diamond.
Yeah.
I'm just saying yes. Hello.
Hello, hello. Hello to you too, Ben. Nice to see you. And obviously Rich also.
Yeah, hello Rich. Our podcast is very irreverent and we will start being silly again in 1 minute. But Dave, we have some bad news. We have to dedicate this podcast to our friend Julian, who many of you
Jules.
May know. He's been on Graham's show. Do you want to just fill us in, Dave?
Yeah, no, very sad. Jules Hughes, I think he's listened pretty much in day one. Diehard Town fan. Really sad. He lost his partner, Jane. I think Friday evening, I heard from him yesterday morning. I know Jane had been unwell for some time, and I think she'd been in hospital and had several operations. I know that. But yeah, sad news. And I think we all send our best wishes and condolences to Jules from all at the pod, really.
Yeah, thanks,
yep,
Dave.
Yeah.
And it's really, really tricky because we do fool around, but we're very, very sincere about that message, despite the fact of this week's news being rather irreverent. So we dedicate the podcast and all our wishes to Julian. And now we go back to the normal level of the podcast, Dave, because James Norwood was having fun on Instagram. He locked himself out of his car and... Yeah. Apparently, to avoid being late for training, fine, smashed his window. And we've got some quotes. This is brilliant. The first rock hit the window and bounced off. Now, imagine it had landed on his foot. And
he'd
like
comedy,
broke his
comedy
foot. I'd been locked out for half an hour in minus 87. And when I tried to throw it harder, I couldn't feel my hands. Released it late and got my door severely denting it.
I mean, the thing that...
Hang on, Dave. Third one went straight through and hit my other door. So, Dave, did he do the right thing? What would you have done in this situation?
Sorry, guys, I just have to add, we do know that Norwood needs at least two or three chances to get it up.
Oh, no.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I mean, but when it all comes down to it, it's seemingly that late for training is a £1,000 fine.
Wow.
I would suggest that with his probably level of excess and undoubted, obviously, lack of no claims bonus, it's going to cost him far in excess of that. So a terrible move. Terrible move.
All Martin Lewis over there.
All right. Dave, you're... Martin Lewis, yeah. A terrible move all round, really. I mean, yeah.
Dave, you're a man of means. Do footballers lease cars or do they actually buy them?
I would assume they lease cars, wouldn't you? I don't know. But what I did see... And it couldn't actually see what car it was, but I saw what the Audi dealership replaced it with.
Oh.
And it was for some like 150 grand AMG bloody motor or whatever.
It wasn't an Audi TT.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I don't think it was an Audi TT though. No, but
I think there's a hairdresser's car joke somewhere in there with James Norwood and his follicles and Audi TTs and
probably. But he is absolutely comedy gold, isn't it? What I would say is I went to London that day Tuesday and it was particularly cold. Not sure it ever reached minus 87. I got a train about 7:45 and it's bloody freezing.
That's tremendous.
Not sure it's minus 87.
There we go. Richard, following some Town fans, there's people on the pitch going on the pitch, after Caden Jackson scored at Tranmere. The club puts out a statement warning fans from doing it again. Paul Lambert says, come and have a party. Make all the noise you can and enjoy it. I'm all for that, and I know how emotions can take over at games. I've had that myself. But the pitch is for the players, not for the supporters. All that happens... then is people get arrested and banned. No one wants that. Richard, we got our normal mix of views down on Twitter of this. And you can't go on the pitch. What's the deal here? You're at Tranmere.
Yeah, repeat, must not become an all-night rave, yeah. I mean, I think the simplest thing to boil it down to is the law. And if you go on the pitch... I think you're breaking the law and you are in trouble. And I think it's really easy as football fans for us to forget that there's a whole world of reality outside the football pitch and there are consequences. But, you know, we've had like a decade or more of just total crap. So yeah. I'm not going to begrudge someone getting a little bit excited and a bit exuberant, as long as it doesn't create any danger for the players. I think that's probably what most people worry about. But yeah, what you don't want is people getting banning orders and all that kind of stuff and missing out potentially on a bigger party and maybe, dare I say, a legitimate pitch invasion at some point in August.
You mean at the end of a playoff semi-final, maybe?
I don't want to make any, you know, I'm remembering your song, Ben, that's all.
But Dave, I've been at all of the Championship playoff semi-finals the past couple of years and you get this comedy bit where some people run on the pitch and then you get loads of people in the crowd shouting, no, they're going to ban us from Wembley, get off, off, off now.
So there's a thing for the club, isn't it? It comes maybe the club get in trouble for that as well, I think. And Paul Lambert's statement, I think, was pre-prepared. It's like when you see Donald Trump reading off a teleprompter, you kind of know probably he doesn't mean it. But I was behind the goal and I'm videoed, I think, for some of the celebrations, not for the bit because Caden Jackson goes to the other side and I was the one going, come back on.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, the guy in the blue jacket, I think, has become a bit of a Twitter hero.
He certainly is.
Good luck. The best thing about pitch invasions are that you can't run on football pitches without studs, can you?
The Tranmere pitch was a shot.
It is the best when they run on and actually fall over. It's quite amusing. There's been plenty of episodes of that over the years, hasn't it? Absolutely.
Jackson tweeted a photo of himself running away from the guy. I think he saw the guy coming and he turned a pace and he's off the other way.
It's like saying a Benny Hill, wasn't it? Oh, it's quite brilliant. Funny.
Dave, this couldn't be any better. If I wanted to make up a fictitious podcast story just to amuse you, this would be it, because podcast legend Jordan Spence has been signed by ADO Den Haag, who are third bottom of the Eredivisie, which is the top division in Holland, which, apart from four or five teams, isn't necessarily the highest. he's gone there till the end of the season. Even better... he's been signed by Alan Pardew. Oh, just do with that what you will, Dave.
Spench. I mean, it's incredible. So, I mean, I've lost track of Spence.
He's still very handsome.
Oh, yeah, obviously, with a very attractive and very successful.
Yeah,
doesn't really need to work anymore, does he?
Yeah,
not really, no. So I assume he hasn't been working since last summer. I assume.
She's in Disney movies now. I don't need to go to training. Screw it.
Last summer. So good. Yeah. I mean, look. Good luck to him. Good luck to him. Yeah.
Just give us an English, Spence.
I had no. Spence. I had no idea that that Pardew was manager there. That's even greater, isn't it? It could only be surpassed if he was assistant to Steve McLaren or something like that. But
just,
yeah.
We're never going to talk about him again. Just give me one more Spence.
Spence. There you go.
What I love is we got a crap in there as well. We just need a bit of both, and we've got all of the Dave.
Oh, you will have that.
Do you want me to make up a story about Mick? Just so we can cover that as well.
And you are going to have unplayable Monday bingo. Before the end of this pod, there will
I'm
be
I'm
going to
mention Martin Weckhorn's set plays as well during the Lincoln game bit as well. So it's all happening. Richard, Idris El Mizouni has gone on loan to Cambridge United. They are 16th in League 2, played them in a pre-season friendly. How does that work out for him and the club?
Yeah, I think that's good all round, isn't it? I think we've talked about the young players getting some game time, and Cambridge, I'm not sure how Cambridge play or how they're doing in the league. Are they, I should have done research. 16th, you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So if he plays, great. It's a learning experience either way. It's different atmosphere, different surroundings to certainly Portman Road, where I guess everyone's well looked after and all that kind of stuff. And I think young players need to find that. I think Wolfenden, we've talked about before, the Swindon loan, I think, has definitely benefited him and benefited us now. So, yeah, good on everyone for that deal. Maybe Dobra needs to have a look at some competitive games. We send a lot of players to kind of Suffolk leagues, don't we, and non-leagues, and it'd be good to get people in the EFL. So I think a few more of those, yeah, good on El Mizouni for doing that.
Summit can benefit just from competitive football, no matter what level. I think Jack Lancas is probably, okay, we haven't seen him this season, but probably an example of that. I think at best went to Bury Town. Mm-hmm. And came back and obviously really looks the part. So I think yeah, you're right, Rich. Better standard obviously helps, but it does toughen these kids up to be playing, no matter what standard, competitive football.
Especially, and he's not going to go on, Ben.
I was just going to say, especially little creative types, Rich.
Yeah, that's the one thing of maybe about League Two that he's going to find that he gets a little bit more than League One, maybe a few kicks up.
Yeah.
And a few rough and defenders giving him, trying to unsettle him. But the thing is, we don't have cups anymore. The under-23s league is crap. I think we've agreed before on that as well. So he's not going to get a chance now. And that, there's a consequence of the rotation stopping. Is he's not anywhere near the bench now, is he? Look at our bench yesterday. We'll come on to that. So, yeah, get him game time. Get him first-team football. Get him a slightly different experience to Ipswich. All useful learning curve, hopefully, and come back stronger for it.
And Stats' favourite player went to Ayr United, didn't he? Or was that done last week? Was that done
that
the week
was
before?
Last week.
Players,
yeah,
hasn't he? Yeah,
yeah.
Dave, discussions between Cole Skews and Marcus Evans about a new contract are ongoing. Skews will be 34 on the 29th of March. Should this contract have a large eye on a off-the-pitch role here?
I'd have thought so, yeah. Yeah, I'd have thought so. I think from reading between the lines, I don't know, but I think he's been doing quite a bit of coaching, whether it be 18s, 23s or whatever. So I would think, yeah, certainly one eye on a future move into coaching. I think he's made no secret of the fact that's what he's striking, that's what he's aiming for. So no doubt, great ambassador to the club. But yeah, just looking at the last few games with the settled, but we'll come on to no doubt, was certainly with the settled midfield too. Yeah, he's not going to fear. Great cover. I'm not saying, great to have on the bench, have that experience on the bench at the moment. But yeah, that's how I see it. I mean, I think Rich touched on this on the WhatsApp earlier. But yeah, you'd be slightly disappointed if he if he sort of comes out with a sort of like a new 2-year deal or something like that. You'd think, what's going on? But yeah,
if it's with a sensible wage and
exactly,
you need him around, and that's
crazy, man.
When they used to talk about Ferguson and Wenger, they always used to say Ferguson would keep around all of his, older
lieutenants.
Players. Yeah, exactly. Lieutenants. To maintain standards and, impart knowledge, basically.
Knowledge
is key, and knowledge is power. And I'm trying to think of one of my silly links to Turnstile Blue here. And if you read Turnstile Blue, you will get knowledge of Lee O'Neill and some quotes from him and Richard has it there, and he's going to fill us in. Knowledge.
There's lots of knowledge in here. I mean, there's a great article with you chaps.
That's backfired, hasn't it?
Whoops. Oh, that's embarrassing. Wow. I mean, let me read
some old stuff the other day.
So Matt Makin, it was speaking to Dave Diamond. He said, "Is it difficult to remain authoritative and yet so popular
inside the paper bin?
You know, ask your own questions. That's what he wants."
Put Diamond quipped. put
Ben
Bloom
is refreshingly laid back for a man of such responsibility. That's not my words. That's the words of
Lee O'Neill.
Yeah. No, it's a good read. There's a lot of stuff in here, so I haven't had the time to have a proper read of it, but a really good interview with Grant from the Turns W's guys, and a real like a coup for them. You know, I think Lee O'Neill's only done stuff through the website and through Steve Pearce and all that kind of stuff, so it's really good to hear kind of in his own words and all that kind of stuff. Interest in his kind of backstory and him coming through as obviously a youth player and then doing teaching for quite a while, and being a coach. He talks a lot about learning. I think we've kind of talked about Marcus Evans learning over the last few years, and certainly things are starting to tick a lot more about the branding and the identity, the strategy, which you'd expect. The stuff that is kind of most interesting to me is how he fits with Paul Lambert and Marcus Evans, though. There's kind of this triangle or tripod, if you will, about how they get, you know, how information flows between them, and that's quite interesting. I'm trying to find a quote for you. And he talks quite a lot about the academy and his role of the academy there, which is all interesting stuff. What I might do is kind of, I spoke to Gav and Grant yesterday about this. Maybe we'll talk about it maybe midweek or next week or something like that, and a few more specific quotes. But if you've got it, definitely worth a good read. And I think it's on eBay as well.
And also, Rich, didn't I read that yours was the actual first edition copy?
Not anymore, because my mate Mark poured his pint all over it, but second edition.
Yeah, on the front of inside paper.
So it's only still,
Mark
worth a quid,
yeah,
then.
Not
pours
worth
his
any,
pint
yeah.
over the top of it. Bloody Never Mark.
Mind. Bloody Mark.
Name
Mark.
And shame, Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
Are you thinking of Peep Show now, Dave?
Certainly am, Jez.
Ruined Christmas.
Mark Corrigan.
Corrigan, so.
Who did Joe Corrigan used to play for? Did he ever used to play for Lincoln?
He played for Manchester City, I'm afraid.
That's it.
One club man, I believe.
Yeah, that's the worst link possible. Think of a Mark who played for Lincoln. is there one in their team yesterday?
No, there is not.
Oh, I've got some Red Dwarf as well. This is very exciting as well. Right, back we go to Portman Road for Lincoln at home. Our sixth game versus the Imps since 2017. We had a draw at home, and then that... Terry Butcher picked the carcass out of that. Mick McCarthy in the cup in 17. This year, again, we draw them in the cup. Obviously, we're in the same league as well. A draw at home again and victory away, followed by that 5-3 rinsing back on January the 29th. Richard, that game has taken on some kind of narrative significance as sort of watershed moment now. It was a fourth defeat in five in all competitions, a seventh league game without a victory, and the last time in the league we saw Dave's 4-4 effing two. We saw Judge on the wing and we saw Dizelle in midfield. What is the significance now of this Lincoln game back on, I said January the 29th. That hasn't happened yet, hasn't it? I meant December the 29th.
Yeah, I don't want to maybe preempt some questions because I know we've got a couple of these, and I know that we put out the tweet and called Lincoln a bogey team, and people reacted to that as well. I think they're the new crew, but I think there's a few bits and pieces. Certainly, Judge's position. I think we definitely learned, or we finally learned the lesson about you can't play him left in a 4-4 FN2. But maybe this team meeting. I don't know whether we're building too much a story around this post-match hour in the dressing room, but it appears that the clear the air kind of stuff that happened after that has maybe helped. Will Keane certainly banged in a decent goal in that match as well, and he's gone on a bit of a run of form, so maybe it was a nice little pivot for getting season back on track. But maybe we're reading too much into it. Maybe we like the narrative there, don't we?
Do you know what, I think it helped having that, although we played Wickham in between, didn't we, what we're thinking, but it helped having that Accrington Stanley match sort of come up fairly soon after that, I think.
And we talked about the it was kind of turned in from a blip to a bit of a bad run of form. It's nice to get a kick up the arse at the right time, and we can draw a line through 2019 now, because 2020 is looking pretty decent, and maybe that Lincoln shipping five goals asks a lot of questions, and it looks like Lambert's found the answers. There you go, that's a quote. Boom.
I remember an old band manager of mine. He was like, "Well, look, you guys are not on TV yet, and that's a good thing. And conceding five goals, that's actually a good thing. Yeah. You should concede five goals."
That sounds like that. That sounds like that bloody old Kit Kat advert. Yeah, you look great, you sound great. It breaks a Kit Kat, don't you? That one. You'll go far, wouldn't it? Is that the one? Do you remember that?
I don't remember
you
that.
Don't, you're looking blank, aren't
I'm
you?
Looking very... Dave, I
someone
always...
Someone out there will.
I always look blank at 8.58. Dave, I've got an unchanged team for you here. I've got Will Norris in goal, Wolfenden, Wilson, Chambers, three centre-halves, Garbutt, Edwards are the wing-backs, Downs and Hughes in the central midfield, Judge being Judge, Keane and Jackson up top. Dave, pending injuries and three-game weeks, is this our Ipswich Town team 2020?
I would say it is. Yeah, I would certainly say it is on the evidence so far. And I think the key there is the fitness of Hughes. He's getting, as we said before, he's just getting stronger and stronger. And we'll get to this. And also Will Keane, you know, Will Keane up front as well. I don't think it's any coincidence. It's a settled side. Judge is now playing in that free role, I would say, with a little bit more discipline, perhaps. Seemingly, I noticed yesterday, I thought.
Lovely. Lincoln line up. Vickers, Erdley, Bolger, Shackle. Melbourne has signed permanently. Toffolo went to play for the Cowleys at Huddersfield. In midfield, Anderson, Morrell, Teo, Aiden, former Ipswich loanee of the... Oh, Teo's got an eye injury. He's gone back to Fulham. Can you tell us more about that, Paul? No. Do I look like an optometrist? Do you remember that? It was brilliant, wasn't it? Grant is the other midfielder. Tyler Walker, the League One, David Nugent. And as if this podcast couldn't get any better, Tyrese John-Jules, nephew of Red Dwarfs the cat, Danny John-Jules. Yes. Come on, what was the first thing I did as priority in this podcast was to Google Tyrese John-Jules?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah. My reflection looks good. My hair looks good. Go and watch some Red Dwarfs. Everybody's dead, Dave.
All of these chances are mine. This chance is mine. This chance is mine. And this chance is mine.
Beautiful. Rich, talk to me about this first half then, leading up to the goal. I did the who scored thing where you wind the bar back halfway. Ooh. And this looks utterly dominant. 9 shots, 5 blocked, 2 on target, 6 corners, 81% pass completion, 72% possession. This sounds like a team playing at the top of the league dominating a game.
It felt exactly that. It was, straight from minute one. And I've seen Man United v Cole U this season, where Man United basically camped on the Colchester 18-yard line for the whole of the match. And Colchester kind of got away in little bursts and tried to score. And it was basically the same thing. I mean, we lacked maybe the clear-cut chances. And actually, Lincoln has a couple of really good moments for them, penalty shouts. Walker has one that he hooked.
He's decent. He's
just over the bar, which Norris gets fingertips on, which I don't think he needs to. But the possession was great. You know, there's a sense that maybe we get around the 18-yard box and then go sideways, and we've seen that. And I think Judge is certainly a player who needs to figure out how to turn, or maybe a turn of pace and go forward, because I think sometimes that just stifles our attacks. But honestly, we look really confident. There's a point where arrogance and complacency and confidence kind of link up and join up. And there were moments there where Lincoln broke away. But ultimately, I think that was, if we were 1-0 up from minute one and played the way the first half, perfect first half, the goal comes at the end and that's fine. But yeah, Dave, I don't know about you, but I was in really...
Yeah, no, I thought we played far better on yesterday first half than you ever did against Accrington, and we were 3-0 up. I mean, you know, Lincoln were very well organised. Yeah, don't get me wrong, Lincoln were really well organised, which I think we didn't really. I can't really remember many. There was one classic move where Keane rolled a pass a post where we did break the lines. That was brilliant football. But they were really well organised. We didn't really get behind them as such. But you know, our passing was crisp, I thought. Interesting. One thing I did pick up, interesting, Lambert's comments, which we didn't say about the pitch, which came out of the Tranmere game last week. And he then said, well, pretty much alluded to the fact that our pitch isn't much better. And I sort of realised that yesterday. You know, I was sorry, Mike, I was up in Mikey's seat. I will call it Mikey's seat from
that,
now
that
on,
was my fault. Can we just say that? Anyway. That was my
fault,
not your fault.
Seeing it from up, seeing it from there, yeah, the pitch is not... Yeah, it is quite bobbly. It wasn't cut up so much, but it doesn't really run true, I suppose, you know, in keeping with pitches this time of the year. So it was quite difficult, but I thought our football was good and crisp. But yeah, one criticism, we didn't really open them up as such, did we? Yeah. Not hardly at all, really. But
that was Keane chance, Dave.
Sorry?
Should he score that chance, Keane? No, he kind of hits it the outside of his boot, doesn't he, there?
Brilliant. I tell you what, acceleration he showed there. I thought, and the control. Yeah. Where'd that come from? Brilliant. Great.
So football. Even get in that position, Rich, yeah, he did really well.
I think he takes it quite early. I think he needs to take it with the side of his foot and open himself up a bit. And he sort of he hit it off the laces, didn't he? It'd have been a great finish. Yeah. That'd have been a great goal. And I thought Keane yesterday just led the line really well. For me, he still doesn't punch his weight in the air as such, which I don't know, maybe it's just a characteristic of his play. But you'd have enjoyed it. His first touch was lovely yesterday.
Elegant looking footballer when he's on it, isn't he?
He's a classy looking player.
Wise man once told me, Dave, good players make good shapes.
Good players make good shapes. They certainly do.
And someone who makes a good shape when he takes a set play, Dave, is Luke Garbutt now, the weapon. Talk to me about this goal and just compare him a bit to Waghorn's set plays now, because it's literally a weapon now, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that was a series of silly free kicks given away from Lincoln when the ball, I think we'd had good position, perhaps, I think this was one of the same, we'd swung the ball in the box. Ball had been headed out. Okay, probably was going for our throw. And might have even been Edwards on the right side, perhaps. I think might have been Edwards, maybe Jackson, trying to protect it out for a throw. This ridiculous challenge from behind. Clear foul. I think that was like the second. I think one, I don't remember, Rich Garbutt had floated over too far. Mm. And this one, he just gets right. I mean, it's from wide, I don't know, probably just on an angle of the box, wide right. And he just whips it in, far post. Wolfenden gets a good connection. He's so close in, though. I mean, you know, keeper just gets half a hand on it. I think keeper should do better there, but keeper pushes it in. But, yeah, great delivery. And, he doesn't waste many deliveries either. All his corners are pretty much spot on, you know, really, really good. Yeah, and he puts them in with pace as well. Great technique.
I think we were deliberately trying that far post. I think we tried it a couple of times in the second half as well, deliberately targeting the far post. On the keeper, the keeper's got a really good starting position before Garbutt strikes the ball. He's kind of the back towards the far post and then comes towards the ball. I don't know if he's expecting it to go short. And by the time the ball's got over to Wolfenden, he's chasing back over.
And I've got
but
to
yeah,
say,
it does hit him in the near post, doesn't it? You know,
I've got to say, from my lofty position yesterday, I watched my lofty perch. All through the game yesterday.
Can we just explain this to the listeners? So Mikey had the pod season ticket, right? And Dave texts me in the midweek, and I'm an idiot. And Dave said, has anyone got the pod ticket? And I'm like, no, help yourself. So Dave went and got it registered in his name. So Mikey shows up at the game quite late, by all accounts. When I look back at the missed calls on my phone when he couldn't get in. Quite late, you know, get there a bit earlier, Mike. But yeah, to be fair, this is my fault. So then I'm doing Millwall Sheffield United and I look at my phone after about 10 minutes. 8 missed calls, 5 Ben, I can't get in the ground, so I do apologise. But in Gary Rowett fashion, Mikey did take a picture of Dave with a picture of a snake on it.
I cleared the air, saw him at half time, offered to buy him a beer, but no, he had his fill before the match, so no, I think peace
now
was,
that was why he was late,
made.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, that's why he's late.
Peace was made.
Mikey,
have to say,
on the source.
What I was going on to say is, I followed Wolfenden a lot through the game yesterday. He is one classy footballer.
Stop it, he's rubbish. No one wants him. Terrible footballer, Wolfenden. Awful. Just quickly, one word answer from you guys, and it has to be one word answer. At the moment, player of the year, give me Downs, Garbutt, or Wolfenden, Dave. One word answer.
Garbutt.
Richard?
Downs.
Yeah, I think it's going to be around, unless one of the strikers has a massive goal spree towards the end of the season. It's going to be one
probably
of those three,
in hindsight,
isn't it?
Because there are players, yeah. But yeah, Garbutt's
been fantastic. But no, the contribution of Garbutt on the goals and assists now is off the charts, especially from a left wing back.
He's going to have a great chance in the second half as well, Ben, which we'll come on to in a second.
Let's do it. That was a good effort actually as well, wasn't it? Second half, Rich, Lincoln don't register a shot on target. Ipswich maintained a possession advantage. Sadly, the passing accuracy halves from 81% to 40%. We see Bishop for Judge on 77, Norwood for Keane on 91. How do they manage this lead?
I mean, this is the kind of typical kind of Town performance of two halves. I think yesterday was a little bit more of a, you know, there was a lot more intent in the second half. Having taken the lead, we've kind of sat back in the past. We didn't do that, but we didn't really have too many efforts again. I mean, there's a couple that I can recall. We'll talk about the Judge one now if you want. It's, sorry, the Garbutt one. It's Judge and Garbutt down the left-hand side, and Garbutt kind of takes the ball forward. He's got, I think it's Judge on the overlap outside him, but rather than play it to him, he kind of drops the shoulder, suddenly has a turn of pace from nowhere and finds himself just inside the penalty area. And it's a lovely shot. It's got a bit of swaz on it as well. I'm going to use that for the kids. And it's a great save from Vickers there.
It's
but
a really
a great
nice,
chance.
Really good save.
Lovely
I was
hit.
Right behind. I was right
soft
behind
hands, Rich, as well.
Arrowing in the corner.
Easily parry that out and someone knocks in the free. Yeah. Great save that,
But and we talk about Garbutt. And this is a thing that I think you get from Premier League players or players who've come up through Premier League system. And we've talked about this before. They know how to strike the ball, and Garbutt does. I mean, that shot, if you look back to the replay on it, it moves. Keane's shot, I don't think, moves, or it's already slicing kind of slightly wider the goal when he hits it. Garbutt's shot is actually, I think, coming back on target, I think, when he hits it. That's how good he is.
Yeah, Garbutt,
go on.
In deference to Keane, I think, there, Garbutt has more time to sort of set himself, really.
It opens up nicely for him.
Keane's taken it early there. That was a hell of a save. And you're right about Garbutt, and he's, and you know, he's striking and the football and everything. He's very rare, again, he very rarely wastes a ball. Mm. Very rarely does he waste. Okay, the odd corner will drift that from a side, but when he's in possession, yeah, very, very good.
I think, Judge, it was a similar performance to Tranmere last week by Judge this week. I think there was a moment where he suddenly, Accrington, it was his best performance, I think, we've seen him in the number 10 position. Tranmere, it was a little bit tougher. I don't know whether they put someone on him and he had to go wide to find the ball. He was doing a little bit yesterday, contributing a little bit more, but Bishop comes on for him. I don't know. There wasn't the kind of subs that you kind of got the feeling that we were rotating. Substituting so that we didn't have to rotate so much for Rotherham yesterday, because Keane stays. I think Judge is the only sub, I think, till about the 90th minute. So I think maybe there'll be rotation on Tuesday. I don't think Hughes can maybe do that. But another great game from Hughes. But I think Craig was on Love Sport, wasn't he? And he was followed by the Lincoln fan who said they deserved a draw. Apart from an intervention that Wilson needs to do on 86 when Grant gets in, and Wilson is tidy and deals with that. He doesn't even hoof the ball out of play, which I think quite a few people are criticising him for. I thought we were comfortable. We didn't create the chances, and Wilson should score probably. There's a 77th minute corner Garbutt takes. Wilson glances it when he needs to get power on the ball. But I didn't think we were in particular danger at all, really. I thought it was comfortable. Yeah, you want to dominate and win 2 or 3. But let's take the 3 points, guys, eh?
And I think Wilson, you hit the nail on the head there. I think Wilson, I love Wilson. He's just absolute no-nonsense, out and out, centre-back. If the ball there is to be cleared, he'll clear it. And I think probably that pass completion is due to the three shanked with his left foot.
Yeah.
Out of the co-op stand.
There's a couple of those.
But, yeah.
So it gives a license to Chambers and Wolfender, doesn't it, to get forward. And they do. And Wolfender sticks it.
Totally a deliberate ploy, isn't it? It's you have the three centre halves. You say, is the spare man the guy in the middle? And Dave, we can go back to Germans marking with two players and having a sweep. We can go back hundreds of years for that, can't we? Or is, you know, the spare guy's the ones on the outside, which is the model nowadays, isn't it? And your middle guy, which Mick did used to do, and Chambers actually used to be brilliant in the head it kick it role. But obviously we're in League One now, and Chambers is actually superior on the ball to Wilson. I think it's the right ploy. And
Wilson's solid. I mean, he's got no left foot, but a couple of pings he did with his right foot.
Yeah, cross
the game. Where the hell did that come?
Chambers-esque.
I
saw Jack O'Connell play yesterday, so I'm in a bit of a different context here.
Chambers wasn't quite so, I thought, adventurous yesterday, but Wolfenden, certainly second half, was playing like a midfield player, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
And playing, lovely. I've got to say, being him up too much, playing very well as a midfield player as well. Going back to yesterday, you had some name conundrums, didn't you, Ben?
It's ridiculous, yeah.
You had a few Wallaces and a few
Jed
Freemans
Wallace,
kicking it.
Murray Wallace, Luke Freeman, Kieran. Freeman. And there was two others as well, Jack Robinson and Callum Robinson. Absolute mess of a game. Right, so this win puts Town back to the top of the table, hence my excellent song up at the top of the podcast here. The form is excellent here, 11 points in 5 games. And when you look at it, the two draws in there are away at Wickham and away at Oxford. And Rich, you were at the Oxford game, so was I. Look, get out of there with a point, and that's
right
fine. talk to me about this run of form then. Do you want to take this one, Dave? Really, really good since the turn of the year now.
Yeah, it has. And look, let's put this rotation thing, I think, to bed, you know, once and for all. I think it's just a settled core of the team, isn't it? You know, the three centre-backs, well, the back five, really. The central two in midfield. And
how many games in a row did Hughes play now?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across six different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Sorry, again?
How many games in a row has Hughes played now?
It's all of the league games of 2020, isn't it?
All of the league games for sure.
All of those five then with the 11 points, yeah?
Yeah, and he's just... him and Downs complement each other really well because he is... I mean, I think Downs, I saw somewhere refer to him as a beast and he is a physical presence in there.
Attack.
Which, again, I think, you need that. You need that at this level. You do. And probably something that we haven't had, you know, in the Championship. We've been saying this for a while. Absolute physical presence. And he can play, obviously, which gives license to Downs, who, has... going to get it in as a bit of both. I think it's just having that settled core of the, core of the team is just by reaping dividends, isn't it?
And again, I credit him every time on this, but if we'd have said at the start of the season, Lambert's going to coax, was going to sign Keane first of all, and he's going to coax Hughes and Keane back really slowly. Oh, and by the way, in January, they're both going to be starting.
And can play the whole match.
We thought we'd actually, oh, they're gambles and they've written the contracts in such a way where, if it doesn't work, they can get rid of them. But very, very good.
Sorry, go ahead. There's two things I wanted to mention before we forget. We did mention Jimmy Walker's yellow card yesterday for one of the things I think we've gone really good at of late, particularly because we're now winning matches, is closing them out by shithousing and time wasting. Norris is great at it. Downs fouled for the whole match and it finally took, I don't think the referee booked him on 80 minutes. He could have been booked at least six
Fernandinho
times.
We're
quite good at the kind of niggly fouls, but quite good at closing the match out. So Jimmy Walker threw an extra ball onto the pitch while one was in the stand for a Lincoln throw and got booked, which I thought was quite funny. But the second point I want to make is look at the quality of our squad now. Hughes, Championship player. Keane, Championship player. Judge, Championship player. Garber, Championship player.
Downs,
Championship player.
Wolfenden.
Norris.
Norris is from...
Look at our bench. The bench yesterday as well.
Dave loves a bench, doesn't he?
There's no place
loves
to
a strong bench.
Anymore.
Loves a strong bench. I prefer... Yeah, you're right. I do like a strong bench. Although I prefer raw iron to wood, I think. But it was
the best bench.
It's spot on. The strength of the squad is, you'd think from now on in, fingers crossed, touching wood, injuries permitting. Well, and also suspensions permitting. Downs one away from a two match now, isn't he?
The best bench ever, Dave, is when Knockhart misses that penalty in the playoffs against Watford. Deeney then scores. They cut to the Leicester bench, and there's Jamie Vardy and Harry Kane on the Leicester bench. And you're like, Okay. That could work out differently.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
I'm going to break tradition here. We just did a roundup first, Rich, because there's some questions about the games coming up. So it was Peterborough 2, Rotherham 1. Don't know, but there's lots of scenarios here as to whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. It allows us to go top of the league. Obviously, we'll get comments on Twitter saying, rightly saying, well, concentrate on your own form, hit your points per game, and it doesn't matter who's beating who. But that result allows us to go top. But Peterborough mobilising a little bit, two good results for them, one of which was a 4-0 win over Wickham in midweek. Wickham didn't play, but they are in dreadful form. 4 points in the last seven games. And as Dave has pointed out before, every team in that top six has had an absolutely crap run at some point in this dreadful league. Yep. Fourth place, Coventry were off playing their weird away home, away cup
and
game.
And now get a replay.
With Birmingham. But as Rich just said, really good news for us is that there's a replay. So that's another three game week in for them.
Didn't I see that Birmingham took 9,000 fans.
9,000 away. That is brilliant away support.
That is unbelievable.
Just incredible stuff. That is Leeds United esque, isn't it? Sunderland in sixth, 0-0 with Doncaster on Friday. So the results really going for us well. And we end the day top of the league. Should we do some questions, gentlemen?
Go.
I don't know if I should give this one a wide berth. Tractor Boy Pete, Richard. Do you think Lambert got the think-walk out in the changing rooms at Lincoln and that's what's made the difference? The think-walk has...
Yeah, and everyone chucked in ingredients, they fried something together, and here's the three
points.
There you go.
The non-stick...
Kill that one off now.
Soy sauce.
Soy sauce in the think-walk. Super Friends Dave asks, how many points to go up automatically?
102. Can we get that many? Yeah.
102 will get you up automatically. I'll give you that,
There you go. So we're on 40. Yeah, how many more games have we got? 20? No, less. 18. Is it?
Let's get the table up here. We are on 48 points from 27, so miles off 2 points per game, frankly. And remember, it's 44. So 2 points per game off 44 would be 88, but nobody is anywhere near 2 points per game.
Haven't seen them.
Yeah, mid to high 70s.
Low 80s will probably win the title, won't it?
Maybe,
It's going to be a
but to get up, could be 79 or something. Which is very, very low, I think, is the answer. Now, Brad, this is an important question. Brad has directed this to me, guys. He says, question for Ben, how many of the last 13 games are at home? Well, Brad, it's funny that you should ask because I think I brought this up on the last podcast, but if anyone didn't hear, 9 of the last 13 games, that's 9 of the last 13 games are at home. I think I pressed that point home. This is ITFC Mark. If we end up in the playoffs, do you have any cures for anxiety and panic attacks, Richard?
Turn off your TV, turn off your Twitter and don't go to the match. Shut yourself in a dark room. And come back and after the game is finished, I think. Do you remember when we were, I don't know if it was the 14-15 season, we went to Wolves, I think, near the end of the season and needed to win or get a point.
3-1-1. Always lose at Wolves. Always.
And I couldn't watch the second half. I was so nervous because I think there was a proper Mick performance that where Wolves had 90% of the possession and chances. Take away with a draw, didn't we? Mark, enjoy it. I mean, bloody hell. There's no anxiety about being relegated last season or being crap for years.
I've done similar. So I've been listening to a game on, and obviously Brenner does get excited. And this has been covered on the forum, as on TWTD, that perhaps he gets overexcited with the opposition. When we've been one up hanging on and the opposition have been attacking and in a really good position, I have turned the volume down on the radio.
Mm. The MK Dons game, Ben, you went to the MK Dons away game, didn't you? And you said it was similar to yesterday, maybe 1-0, nice and comfortable. They had a few bits and pieces, but never really tested us. And you were quite chilled and calm about talking about it on the pod. I remember listening to that or watching it on the iFollow with Brenner. And my heartbeat was like 120 BPM. I think maybe turn off the commentary, maybe.
Yeah.
Let's go for Paul Westlake. Keenan Jackson should be our upfront starters. Was interesting to hear Mick Mills say 3 points from the next three tough matches should be seen as a good result. Now, normally I agree with Mick Mills on everything, but in the words of David Brent, that seems a little low, doesn't it?
You want to win your home game, don't you?
Yeah.
You certainly want to win your home game.
So what are the next three games? It's Rotherham midweek, and we'll do this after the questions.
Then Rotherham, Portsmouth.
Peterborough, and then Sunderland. But although Mick Mills is probably right, given no one's anywhere near 2 points per game, 4 or 5 points from that might be fine, but you really want those 6 points from those two. It goes to that thing that we discussed earlier in the season. One, do you want to win the title or do you just want to get promoted? And two, is it a marathon or is it a sprint? Do you know what I mean? If it's a direct race against Rotherham, for example, then the most important thing is to just not lose to Rotherham. Whereas if it's, you know, a marathon and it's going to work out that way, which it's not, is it? Because look at the points. Then it's accumulate as many as possible. So it might be, Mick Mills might actually be right, as usual. Don't lose to your direct rivals, is what he's saying.
No, he makes a good point. I think, oh Christ, if we can get out of these games of 5 points, you know, undefeated, two draws and win your home game, or, you know, fantastic. Mm-hmm. You'd take that now, wouldn't you? You would take, you know, three draws. I think you probably would as well. But, yeah.
Well, you take three draws over one win and two defeats.
Yeah.
Even though the outcome is the same.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, because it gives momentum to the others, yeah.
Absolutely. Richard Andy asks, is Dizel injured? One of the very few negatives is his absence. Hasn't looked happy since the long layoff. Get the feeling his future is elsewhere, but hope he doesn't leave. Talk to me about Dizel, Richard.
I don't know whether he's injured or not. I mean, clearly there's a lot of off-field stuff for him to be getting his mind around as well. But last week Seb was sort of saying on the pod that it's not a pitch for Dizel. But who do you put him in for? You know, unless he can figure out maybe the number 10 role, then he's up against Bishop. Nolan can do is the box to box kind of midfielder. Well, Dizel's not that either. He's not going to replace Downs.
So there's the
3-5-2. Unless you're going to make a substitution to change the formation, I don't see where Dizel gets in.
But Rich, the thing with the 3-5-2 is if you do want to make it a little bit more solid, you pull the number 10 back and you go for a midfield three. For example, at Rotherham away. But that, you would imagine if we did that, it would be
Scoose.
You'd want a stopper in there rather than a creator.
And we talked about Aquitaine. I think we thought that the substitution in an ideal world is you bring Dizel on for Hughes rather than Scoose, and it stifled us a little bit attacking wise. And I get that. It's just the whole situation, Dave. You've talked about this before. It's really just frustrating, isn't it? Obviously, if Dizel wants to play, maybe there's a loan there, but it just, the more time goes on, I know we've got a 1 year extension trigger on his contract. So I don't think he's going to leave for nothing, but you just wonder whether he's ever going to get a chance.
It's so frustrating because he's such a classy footballer there, isn't he? Yeah. It's for everybody to see, but certainly at the moment, he just doesn't fit at the moment, does it? Unfortunately for him.
Dave, this is playing to the crowd. Dave asks, I like to judge a team by its subs bench. Wouldn't every team in the league want a bench like ours today? Dave, I'm sure you can get behind that.
Yeah, I mean, we said it yesterday, didn't we? And not just Dizel, but Kenlock. I saw Kenlock wandering
Nolan.
The back of the stand with his tracksuit on, you know. So, you know, again.
Even Holy.
Sorry?
Even Holy.
Well, yeah. And you think, well, what is great, For once, we just don't seem to be, okay, let's put Vincent Young to one side. We seem to be getting these players back and, again, touching all sorts of wood and keeping them fit for once, for Christ's sake. They don't seem to be breaking down. And, I mean, the only one long-term squad player I can think of other than Vincent Young is probably Jack Lancaster, who's obviously, you know, touch and go, whether we'll see him at all this season. But, yeah, It's a nice problem to have, isn't it?
And the podcast audience would kill me if I didn't just draw attention to the fact that David Diamond just said that he's touching all kinds of wood. Richard, Scott asks, in a season that's been somewhat up and down.
That sounds like Mrs. Nuts would say on Twitter about,
Hashtag touching wood.
Is winning the title a realistic expectation? Well, Richard, we're top of the league with 17 games to go.
Yeah, well, I use the same figure of speech that we used for the rotation. Once you've got the shirt, you know, it should be yours. We have the first position in the league. The only team that have got games in hand on us below us, by the way, are Coventry have two, but are playing, you know, an FA Cup tie against Birmingham in a week or so. Wickham didn't play this week, but they've played the same number of games as us. So this, Peterborough played a game more. Sunderland have got two game in hand on us, blah, blah, blah. So possession is 9/10 of the, or whatever it is. Just keep winning. Just keep, you know... But I'd take second. I would take second right now, by the way.
I'd take second with 73 points. Yeah.
Yeah.
just get it done. Just win.
I would pitch invade for a second.
I think Joe probably nailed it. Joe Fair's nailed it. He said, if we win, I don't know, what, 80% of our home games, so, yeah, you know, and we'll pick up the odd points away, we'll probably be all right.
Well, there's 11 home games, isn't there, from 16 or whatever. 8 wins from those is 24 points. Yeah, that 72. Puts you to 72 straight away, and we've been very good away, haven't we?
So, couple of away wins, 78. Yeah.
Did you know we're 9 of our last 13 games are played at home?
9, you say?
Yeah, but we're just crap at home, haven't we?
Not in 2020.
That's for Brad in the questions there, Brad. Dave, Dommy Boy 79. Is the reason Keane is starting because he is going to be key for the way Lambert eventually wants to play, especially if we get promoted with Jackson and Norwood a bit more blood and thunder?
Perhaps, yeah. I mean, as Rich said, he's a championship player. You can see he's just quality all round. Quality's first touch. And acceleration he showed as well yesterday. So, yeah, I'd pretty much go along with that, I think.
Mike says, Richard, Edwards did some important stuff today. Is he growing into a role that he was very much forced into well? What's to say he won't be a natural by the time Kane Vincent Young is back fit?
Yeah, it's true. I don't think you get as much attacking contribution as Garber provides, but he's got the set pieces, hasn't he? But I think Edwards is figuring out the defensive side of it. I mean, Vincent Young gets back into the team as soon as he's fully fit for me, because you definitely do get that attacking outlet. But yeah, I think he's figuring it out. I think Chambers kind of playing quite a wide centre back has helped him out there as well. So yeah, good on him.
No, yeah, it's great. I thought he played well yesterday.
Dave Mullet asks, is Norwood an impact sub now the rotation policy is over and the team has got back to the top of the league?
I think, yeah, potentially he is. I mean, he certainly was last week at Tranmere. Great assist for Jackson's goal. Obviously, you can't really judge him yesterday because I think he didn't come on to the 90th minute. I think he's still...
Good shithousing, though, Dave.
A couple of bits of good shit. I think he's still... checking the small print in his motor policy, but I see him like that now. I do see him like that at the moment. Yeah, more of an impact. He'll probably start on Tuesday.
Just to lob in there as well, we haven't talked about Caden Jackson. It wasn't a great game for him yesterday, but seems to offer a lot more than Norwood, doesn't he? You know, the three of them are, and Sears as well in the mix. That's a good choice.
This does parlay into Callum's question, though, who agrees with Dave about Keane and his aerial prowess. I've always been a bit loath to say, oh, someone's not fast enough or someone's not good enough in the air, because you either are or you aren't, and it's up to the manager to find someone else. But the point being, if you do play Keane and Jackson, you don't have an aerial presence. But hey, if you've got Judge, Downs and Hughes and Garber and all those technical players around them.
Keane negates that somewhat by his first touch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Isaac asks, of all the clubs who have gone from League One to the Championship in recent years, who do you think has had the best business model? Can I answer that and give a really boring answer and say Rotherham? They've got exactly the right stadium size. Yeah. They kept their spend within, I know Ipswich fans hate this word, but sustainable level. They gave it a really good go. They sold Vokes. They sold Ajayi. They've reinvested. They're back at the top of League One. They're probably... Yeah. Go up again, and they've got some... Well, we'll talk about the assets they've got in their team. That's a very boring answer, isn't it? When you have the likes of Blackburn signing Gallagher and Brereton for 5 and 6 million and Wigan down at the bottom, and you see Luton, Charlton and Barnsley. Barnsley's an interesting model, but I don't think Ipswich fans would like to see 10 players in from Red Bull Salzburg over the summer or what have you. So a boring answer is Rotherham, guys, I think. Although we're not the same club that Rotherham are. We, without any amount of snobbishness, we're a bigger club with maybe
a Rotherham, the West Brom of the League One Championship.
Yeah, very well put. There you go. Or dare I say, in September, the Norwich of the League One Championship. But we always get in trouble when we ever go at Norwich because Norwich fans listen to this podcast. It's interesting, isn't it? Hi to those guys. They had a good win, Norwich, at Burnley, and I hope that extra fixtures ruins the rest of their Premier League
the cup,
aren't they? They'll do a borough. Won't
I imagine they win the cup. That would be the worst thing ever. We get promoted, they get relegated, but they'd still just do us by winning the FA Cup. Oh, Dave,
would they put a star
on
the badge? Do you think?
I think you should always celebrate your history and your major honours.
I think that would be an
excellent idea.
Just don't talk about it 10 years or 20 years' time, guys, because obviously history is not important. It's about the
present,
isn't it?
Very important. History is. Don't live in the past, but history is very important. And stars are excellent. Jack asks, how important was the lock-in at Lincoln? I think you guys have covered that. So, Jack, hopefully we've given you that answer already. Will asks about... 3 points from our next three games. He makes an interesting point, though. He says, given our favourable run in after that, that's something we didn't mention, that we said on the pod last week, once those games are done, it does look like a nice downhill freewheel to the end of the season.
My mate Dan has said March is when you know, because February is quite tough, Dan, as well. I think there's a, Dan, Oxford Dan. And Coventry, I think, in February as well, I think. So if we're still in the top six in March...
They're home games, though, aren't they, as well?
Yeah.
Nine
out of the last 13.
Is that right, Fred?
So I heard.
I think the suggestion would be not to panic, maybe, after this week, though. I think it's still early days, guys. Let's
early
not panic.
Days. Hey,
chill out.
Top of the league coming up to February, though, Richard. Jason says this is an absolute baller of a show. That's interesting. He says, I've no stats to back this statement, but without Norwood, are we conceding fewer fouls and retaining possession, maintaining a better flow? Well, I can give you a stat for the first half because we had it, didn't we? 72% possession, which is massively high in the first half. Dave, does the game flow more without Norwood bulldozing up front?
Well, I think, again, it probably does because keeps banging on about it because perhaps his first touch isn't quite as silky and as effective as Will Keane's first touch. But yeah, I like Norwood. I mean, Norwood's done well. I mean, he's got double figures, 10 goals, and he hasn't been a regular for several weeks now. So look, Norwood's done well, but just different. It's just totally different players. And I think going back to the question a few minutes ago, he makes a brilliant, at the moment, he makes a great impact sub. Just because of his general overall shithousery.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone, as always, for the wonderful questions. Let's talk about these next two games.
Can I just add something quickly? Someone put a question. If there was a player you could sign to get Ipswich over the line this season, who would it be? Not Messi or Ronaldo. I've got to say, we never talk about the Premier League, but I'll cleanse myself. I watched Wolves Liverpool the other night, and Armand Traore game was.
What a cross!
Do you not remember him?
What a goal!
Do you not remember last day of the season, 17-18? We drew 2-2 with Borough, and poor Miles Kenlock. And I said to people since. Genuinely, we saw Dan James play at Swansea, didn't
ran
we?
Ran all over him, didn't he?
Fastest player I have. And he's bulked up but kept his pace as well, hasn't he? Which normally when players bulk up too much, they slow down, don't they? But yeah, okay. Adama Traore, there we go. But really, with that kind of signings question, it's not going to happen, is it? But you kind of wouldn't want a good loan player to come in now and unsettle stuff. Do you know what I mean? Especially now you're right.
Unless
you're going to bring someone in who's for the next 2.5 years, it's almost a non-subject. Let's talk about Rotherham, because Rotherham started the season badly, as we explained just a few minutes ago. Semi Ajayi was the good centre-half. He went, and Will Volks was the good midfielder, and he went. But Paul Warne always seems to do a good job. I thought they were excellent. Really deserved the win at Portman Road.
Oh, God, yeah.
They look really good. They were top, obviously, until yesterday. You've got Michael Smith, who at this level is a really good target man. Maybe he's in purgatory in between the Championship and the... Well, he still scored a few in the Championship, didn't he? Down the sides, Ogbeni and Adelaken, if you saw one of their games a couple of weeks ago, like crosses into the box, pace, really, really good. Ihekwa at the back, he played really well against us as well. And Richard Wood will probably still be playing for Rotherham in 2040. Let's just talk about this, tactically, because you've got a team who's got a very, very good big front man, and they're going to play probably a front two, and good wide players, Dave. How does this match up with our wing-backs and our centre-halves?
Well, this is where perhaps so much Garbutt, but perhaps our right wing-back, perhaps Edwards, can get... So
he's going to be against Hakeeb. Yeah, Larkin down the left.
Got at, perhaps, with his relative inexperience at right wing back. But I think Rich made a good point where it certainly helped him with the experience Chambers playing on that right side, relatively close to him. I think that's helped him. So, yeah, that's where potentially I can see problems.
Ben, I've got a question for you. This is a really interesting situation because we've been... persisting with the 3-5-2 in the consistent lineup. I think there will be changes. I think there may be two or three changes on Tuesday night. But is it going to be two systems that have been persisted with regardless of the opposition that might just cancel each other out? Because we've had quite fortunate games against Accrington, Tranmere, Lincoln a bit stronger yesterday, but we've been given the luxury of being able to persist with it.
Yeah.
Big teams coming up this week. Is this the first real test of the 3-5-2?
It is.
And does Rotherham change anything for us?
And Rich, it's not the system. It's the fact that Rotherham are happy to play without the ball that's the problem. So you could get one of those horrible situations where we kind of start the game well and we have the possession, but you know, they can create a chance, a quick switch of play, a quick counter, a ball into a channel, what have you, set play. Do you know what I mean? They can be 2-0 up with 30% possession.
Exactly right. It might be a game of set pieces, or you know, if a Garbutt free kick goes in, it's either scrappy 1-0, isn't it? Or
and that's your worry about Edwards and Garbutt on set plays, because where do you think they're going to send Smith, Wood, and Ihekwa?
Yeah,
of the set plays, they're going to right onto the small players. It's going to be a really hard game, isn't it? And I'm sure it'll throw it down with rain and be freezing cold again. As well, God, I'm literally forcing myself into David Diamond take a point mode now. But we've just entered the podcast saying, right, we went toe to toe, we kept the ball, we played on the front foot. We have better players than Rotherham, you know, maybe give or take one or two. Dave, I know you like Matic, the left back, and he'll always give good quality and put, you know, get
very
up and
similar player to Garbutt, I'd say.
Rotherham's home form, not particularly good, just to lob that if we're looking for positives as well. Slightly, only moderately better than ours.
But that plays into the we don't mind playing without the ball narrative as well, doesn't it?
Our away form is good. So
they were very good. They were very good at ours. I caught their game on Quest last night. The guy that scored, is it Crooks who scored both? Don't think he played yesterday.
He didn't play yesterday, no.
No, so whether...
It
whether
was
he'll
Wiles
be,
and Barlasser.
Yeah, whether he'll be fit, I don't know. But... yeah, I think you would, if you came away with a point from there on a Tuesday night away at Rotherham, you would be happy with that.
Well, especially, and I always say context is king, isn't it? If you then go and beat Peterborough, which is another hard game on Saturday, I think, personally, 3 points, I think you'd honestly prefer to lose to Peterborough than you would Rotherham if you want a title chase. Yeah. But 3 points from those two games wouldn't be terrible, would it?
No. No. These next three games, I sound a cliche, we'll shape it, I think. If we come out well out of these next three games, then we are on a roll.
Dave, well is second place. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, going into that last...
Keep that momentum going. Don't
we're going to need
anything.
To start monitoring who other teams are playing as well, because that comes into it now as well. You don't lose and other teams draw each other and all that kind of stuff.
And it will do because, what was it, down to what, ninth, ten, ninth? So Burton are ninth with 40 points, for Christ's sake. So, yeah, so it goes 40, 41, 41, 42, 43, 44.
Someone will go on a run as well. Someone will win six, draw one, and lose one. of eight or something and go on a run, and it's so open, isn't it? And you worry about those last two Peterborough results as well. Good wins for them.
It's the weirdness of the division, because, well, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago we were seemingly miles off top, weren't we? And thinking, we're blowing our chances.
Really poor.
And now, look, you know, you have five games undefeated, three of those are wins, and you.
Dave, look at it. We had a terrible run. Rotherham started terribly. Wickham started brilliantly, and now we're on a terrible one. Coventry just had too many draws. They haven't really had a terrible run. Peterborough, yeah, the same. 9 defeats, most out of anyone there. Sunderland sacked the manager, for goodness sake. Oxford started badly. Pompey started badly. Burton started badly. Do you know what I mean? It's your
Coventry, Rich, that slightly worries me. But this FA Cup is good news.
Need someone to take that Shipley off them from the championship, don't we? Right, guys, absolutely love that. Don't know why I felt the need to clap. Don't really know what that added, but
a bit of a Mick Jagger type clap as well.
Don't stop me. I'm a guy that's really, really excellent. If you're watching on,
that's one for the YouTube. Yeah,
yeah. If you're watching on the YouTube, do you know I did some work for the Rolling Clones back in the day. That's good fun. Good fun band that, actually, because it's the most jammy, non-structured, just make it up as you go along music. Rolling Stones.
The
money is coming in for the Rolling Clones. Believe you
have
me.
Have you ever done anything with the Illegal Eagles, Ben? Have you done anything?
I have not, but I do know their bass player, and he worked for a guy called Elio Pace, who does the best Billy Joel
tribute.
Billy Joel tribute. He's get about all over the place, don't they?
What do we think? Could the Rolling Clones be the best name for a tribute band? Better than Noasis, maybe?
There's no one for Pink Floyd, which is just fake Pink Floyd or something. What is the tour around the world?
There's a ridiculous one. No, Australian Pink Floyd. I know a girl who sang backing vocals.
Australian.
They play in bloody arenas. For goodness sake. They play biggest places as Dave Gilmore does. There we go.
We could do a pun. No, where are we from? Australia. Yes, do that.
Australia, Pink Floyd. There you go. Yeah, they are coining it. Anyway, the tribute world where there is money to be made. Richard, have you got any nonsense to plug?
Yeah, I'm hopefully, all being well, by the time this comes out, we should have the first of our 99-2000 bits of content. I've done a little timeline to take us back through all of the key moments from the 99-2000 season up to, but not including the playoffs, for those of you who are fans of the thick of it. And so, yeah, that should go out start of the week, I think, before Rotherham, hopefully. So, yeah, keep a lookout on our new YouTube channel. Update your subscriptions. Stick something maybe on Insta, on Twitter, and you can see it on my Twitter account at IpsRich.
Well, and what's the Insta account again, Rich?
Blue Monday Pod Team, all one word.
Blue Monday Pod Team. Dave.
The Pod. Australian.
Better give a shout out for. That sounds awful, but a shout out for Ipswich.
Women.
We get in trouble with this, don't we?
Up fourth round.
Right, it's 9:45 in the morning. The game hasn't happened yet. So, where are they playing? At Huddersfield?
At the stadium.
Yeah.
So, good luck to them. I mean, can you imagine getting through that and then drawing Man City at home? Probably wouldn't be played at the Gold Star. Well, I'd hope it wouldn't be played at the Gold Star ground. You know, perhaps they would get a gig at Portman Road, but that would be interesting if that happened, wouldn't it? But, yeah, good luck to them.
Good luck to them there, ladies. Thank you, everybody, for listening, as always. Episode 347 today. Prolific. We're the Steve Bull of Ipswich Sound podcasts now. Soon we're going to be going into messy zone, aren't we?
Probably about 150 short of Steve Bull, aren't we, though?
It's probably around the 400 mark, isn't it? Yeah, it's always good to get a mention of Steve Bull in as well, particularly while I'm wearing this
Andy Much.
Fetching orange jumper. Thank you, everybody, for listening, watching. We are going to be back. When's the Rotherham game? Is it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday.
So we're going to be back on Wednesday night with me and two others, and we'll figure that out depending on who's
there. Anybody attending from the pod?
I think Amy's going. I assume Joe Fares will somehow manage to stream this information into his plush house out near Statman's, won't he?
Yeah, I guess. Yes.
I follow legitimately on Tuesday.
Oh, is there legitimate I follow? There you go.
Yeah.
So Joe Fares won't be doing
anything
naughty.
No, the way he's doing is illegitimate. Let's be.
I didn't say that. I just said he'd find a way of streaming it. That way could be legal.
Goes to Germany. We all know that.
On I follow. He just gets on the EasyJet, doesn't he? It's, 50 yep. quid, Dave, he's over there in Germany.
I think Joe repositions his satellite. streams it in that way.
Well, fair's fair. And Mikey, sorry. the last 2 minutes of this podcast has been awful, hasn't it? So
you
I will
guys
say.
Given up plugs for yourselves, by the way. We don't know where Dave's Twitter is. We don't know where Ben's Twitter
at
is.
David Diamond 3.
At David Diamond 3.
At Benjamin.
Follow us already anyway, don't you?
Benjamin Bloom, some championship stuff on there. Get ready for next season because we.
Where were you yesterday, Ben?
Top of the league. Millwall versus Sheffield United, which are too good.
How did our goalkeeper play?
Fine, yeah. Didn't have any chance for other goals. Saved. One-on-one with the master, Billy Sharp. So, yeah, he played well, actually. Yeah. No sign of David McGoldrick, though. He was having a rest.
Well-earned
rest from all Keith Premier Hackett. League football. Do you remember the conversations we had? Well, you see, the thing about McGoldrick is he'll never quite play in the Premier League. He's eighth.
Yeah, never quite... He's not quick enough, is he?
Yeah, he's not quick enough. Yeah, there we go.
But they love him, don't they? They do love him, don't they?
They do. They do love him. Yeah, no other Ipswich links at that game. Right. Goodbye, everyone. And
cheers, guys.
From Mikey, we'll say a big be careful what you wish for.
Take a point.
Bit of both.
Bit of both.
Grab. Suspense.
Unplayable.
That's tremendous.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.